Good morning. Welcome to worship at Altona Mennonite Church. My name is Mick Friesen, and I will be your worship leader for today's service. At the time that the service was being planned, we still assumed that we would be meeting in person, and now we have moved back to the online medium. So we have tried to negotiate that with some technical pieces, and we hope that everything runs smoothly. I would like to mention other people participating in today's service. Marilyn Hauser-Ham will be leading music. Kirsten Ham-Epp will be bringing us the children's story. Paul Cron will be bringing us a few songs. And Marnie Miro Friesen and I will be reading a couple of litanies as part of the service. You will want to listen all the way through the service. After the postlude, there is a bonus track from Paul Cron that you can use to meditate on your own time. As we are approaching Remembrance Day later this week, we are intentional about designating today as Peace Sunday. It is my hope that today's service will nurture within us a spirit of humility, that as we reflect on the complicated state of our world, we will find a renewed commitment to faithfulness, to discipleship, to being people of peace, as God has called us to be. Our prayer of invocation today is the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. We'll now have our opening hymn, We Are People of God's Peace.
As we have been focusing on stories that shape us and how we are shaped as a people, one of the songs that has shaped us as a people of the Anabaptist tradition is number 407, We Are People of God's Peace, the text written by Menno Simons. I invite you to sing and to sing with the awareness that the whole community of faith is singing this hymn this morning as we celebrate and as we pray for peace.
With everyone we seek, God, for we will give.
Our call to worship this morning is a paraphrase of a couple of verses from the book of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who publish salvation, and proclaim, "Your God reigns." God will judge between many peoples, and they will beat their swords into plowshares, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Let us lift up our voices and praise the God of peace and justice. Amen. I don't know anything about war is a short prose poem that I wrote a few years ago. It's meant to be heard as a stream of consciousness, and I'm going to try to read it with that in mind, so it might go by kind of quickly, as our thoughts often do. It's a bit of a lament, and it's my personal reflection. I don't know anything about war. I can take a stand on knowing, go over the top on what I believe, like soldiers on a numbered hill, but even with imagination exploding with trenches, rats, severed limbs, bayonets stuck between ribs, horses hung up in trees and melted over branches like a Salvador Dali scene, the truth is a shard of shrapnel sticking in my convictions. I don't know the first thing about war. I have read about PTSD, seen blown out tanks and villages and cities on the news, read war novels that tell me war is hell, but I don't know anything about war. I've been fascinated and horrified by documentaries and movies mostly. Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan, Inglourious Bastards, the war to end all wars. But I still know nothing about war. I remember the Gulf War, August 2nd, 1990 to February 28th, 1991. Saw parts of it live on TV. Heard people say it looks like a video game, especially the night shots. Green missile flashes flying at some enemy. I marched, walked in protest against that war with others on a peace walk from here to there. Yet I don't know anything about war. I once thought I did, talked about it and against it like I knew. Even now I say Jesus and Gandhi and Martin Luther King, and that I don't believe in war. I hope I know something about peace. But when people talk about war, that thing I know nothing about, I just want to withdraw and fall back and retreat and bug out. I know what the words mean, but I don't know anything about war.
I'm tired and so weary, but I must go alone till the Lord comes and calls me away. Well, the morning's so bright, and the lamp is alight, and the night is as black as the sea. There will be peace in the valley for me. There will be peace in the valley for me. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley. Will be tame, and the lion shall lie down by the lamb, and the beasts from the wild will be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. And there will be peace in the valley for me. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. valley for me. There will be peace in the valley for me. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me.
This is now an Old Testament litany with some allusions to Genesis and the book of Isaiah, read in two voices. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters.
Out of chaos came a natural order of animals and plants, and even the universe being in harmony with itself until...
We developed spears, guns, and missiles that would create not a symphony of peace, but the discord of pain, of blood, of loss.
It is not God who has abandoned us, but rather it is we who have turned our backs on a loving God and have wandered into that wilderness of despair, of apathy, and even death.
May order be restored to our broken world. Show us, God, how each of us can contribute to a more peaceful world.
A world in which the lion may lie down with the lamb, in which people see one another as sisters and brothers, a world of communal sharing and caring. Praise and glory be to the living and loving Christ who offers us this new creation. Amen.
In place of a sermon for this service, we will be playing a short video. It is based on a short essay called The War Prayer, and it has been turned into an animated short film. The War Prayer was written by Mark Twain. In 1904, disgusted by the aftermath of the Spanish-American War and the subsequent Philippine-American War, Mark Twain wrote a short anti-war prose poem called The War Prayer. His family begged him not to publish it. His friends advised him to bury it, and his publisher rejected it, thinking it too inflammatory for the times. Twain agreed, but instructed that it be published after his death, saying famously, "None but the dead are permitted to tell the truth."
How many times must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? And how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? And how many times can a man turn his head to pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer times can a man look up before he can see the sky? And how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? And how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Hello from the farm! Peter and I are so happy to be sharing today's story with all of you. It's called Say Something, and it's about how we can use our voices and all kinds of other things, like maybe Cheerios, to help spread God's peace and God's love and help make the world a better place, which is quite a fitting story for Peace Sunday. So, here we go.
Say Something by Peter Reynolds. The world needs your voice. Mine? Yes, yours. Go ahead. It doesn't need to be perfect, as long as it's from your heart. You don't have to be loud. Powerful words can be a whisper. You can say something in so many ways. With words, with action, with creativity. If you see someone lonely, say something by just being there for them. If you see an empty canvas, say something with your brush. If you see an empty lot, say something by planting a seed and watching it bloom. If you see someone being hurt, say something by being brave. If you see something beautiful, say something with a poem. If you have a brilliant idea, say something with confidence. If you want to show the world who you are, say something with style. If you are angry, say something to help people understand. If you see an injustice, say something peacefully. Inspire others to do the same. Sometimes you'll say something and no one will be listening. But keep saying what is in your heart, and you will find someone who listens. Keep saying it, and you may be surprised to find the whole world listening. If you are grateful for being alive, quietly say something to the stars, to the universe. Some people find it easier to say something than others, but everyone has something to say. So when you're ready, say something. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us so many wonderful things to say. Help us remember to use our voices to share your peace and your love with the world. Amen.
At this point, I would like to read what I call a found poem from Rudy Weeb's novel, Peace Shall Destroy Many. A bit of background. In 1962, Rudy Weeb published his first novel, Peace Shall Destroy Many. Weeb's life changed dramatically as a result. Set in a fictional Mennonite community in Saskatchewan during World War II, the story of this community is raw, and for some Mennonite folks, it cuts too close to the bone. Weeb felt the heat from his own community in letters he received, criticizing him for airing dirty Mennonite laundry in public. While some people welcomed the portrayal for its honesty, this was outweighed by critique. It became a controversy in the Canadian Mennonite world resulting in Weeb being forced to resign his position as editor of the Mennonite Brethren Herald. In an afterword to the 40th anniversary edition of the novel, Weeb reflects on the timing of the first copies of the book being delivered to his door in 1962, coinciding with his birthday, and he writes, "For my 28th birthday, the gift of a small explosive device." In chapter 12 of Peace Shall Destroy Many, the young protagonist of the novel, Tom Weentz, is reading a letter from Joseph Duick, a school teacher who has left the community to serve in the medical corps in World War II. Joseph is struggling with understanding the concepts of peace and struggling with how to be faithful in a world of hypocrisy. The following reading is a found poem, Weeb's words in the voice of the character Joseph Duick, but with my selection, arrangement, and editing. As for peace, where do the teachings and life of Christ come in? In our glorious opportunities to die for our country? What a travesty! Other churches, bound by rigid tradition, as our Mennonite church is so bound, insist on force to end the war, while we hold to peace at all cost. Those other positions must be contrary to Christ, yes? But is ours better? How great and glib are God's children claiming blessed status as peacemakers, for if we don't know peace, how can we make it? Is it enough to hold one's peace in silence, to say if all goes smoothly and I cannot be blamed, then there is peace? Or if we are blessed with good crops, basking in Old Testament promises to God's people, and if we avoid war, then there is peace? It is a permissive peace that permits us to squabble with our neighbor, to malign this one in public, or to neglect that one entirely. What a sham and slothful peace. And what of the angels singing, "Peace on earth," while babies are killed because another baby was born? Explain that peace. When Christ spoke of peace, what did he mean? Surely not the peace that we too often aim at, one to be gained by ignoring the issues raised. No, he could not have meant something so static, not some outward quiet and constant comfort. Rather, a mighty inner river that carries all outward circumstances before it as if they were driftwood. An inward peace in no way affected by outward war, but quietly overcomes it on life's real battlefields. The soul of me, the soul of you, the soul of all humanity. Marilyn, please.
I invite you to sing The Journey, number 54, as we sing the longing of our hearts and as we join that mighty, mighty inner river. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ,
shining on.
As we enter into a time of prayer this morning, we are asked to notice a number of items in the bulletin for prayer. We ask that you notice those, that you hold them in your hearts and minds this morning as we pray, and that you carry those with you through the week as well. Let us pray. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore, we pray these words with confidence. We pray for Christians everywhere, for faithfulness and strength, to persevere in righteousness. We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the commonwealth of our global community. We pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice or oppression, and for those in poverty and pain. We pray for all those who need healing and peace. We pray for those who endure trials, for those who are dying, and for those who mourn. We pray for all who need comfort and hope. You have heard the prayers of your people. We rest in the comfort of your care. Amen. This is a litany for peace. It's been adapted from a letter written by Jacob Hutter in 1535, and he wrote this to the rulers of Moravia as he was establishing his leadership within the faith community, and he is the leader from whom Hutterites have taken their name.
Many people talk about war, saying that many holy men of the past have waged wars.
We answer as follows: that at that time, the new kingdom which came with Christ had not yet been revealed, and that the iron weapons of war have now been converted into scythes and pruning hooks at the command of God.
Christ says, "It was said of old, a head for a head, and eye for an eye, a hand for a hand. But I say to you, not so."
And further, he said, "It was said you should love your friend and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you.
It does not say, move against them with weapons of defense.
Therefore, we are also not minded to do this, that we may be children of our Father in heaven. We'll have our closing hymn, and we'll have one verse after the benediction. Ever-present God, guide us by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Amen.
I bind myself to peace, to make strife and envy. My father could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor fall and rot slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. It won't be long, he won't be around. I love my father, he could use some mercy now. My brother could use a little mercy now. He's a stranger to freedom. He's shackled to his fear and his doubt.
that he lives in, it's almost more than living will allow. I love my brother. He could use some mercy now. My church and my country could use a little mercy now. As they sink into a poison pit, it's going to take forever to climb out. They carry the weight of the faithful who follow them. I love my church and country, and they could use some mercy now. Every living thing could use a little mercy now. Only the hand of grace can end the race towards another mushroom cloud. People in power, they'll do anything to keep their crown. I love my life, and life itself could use some mercy now. A little mercy now. Oh, I know we don't deserve it, but we need it anyhow. We hang in the balance, dangle between hell and hallowed ground. Some mercy now. Yeah, every single one of us, we could use some mercy now.